All right. So in honor of the Atzmiso Shel Yom, that we're just finishing up the celebration, commemoration of Yom Ha'atzmaut, which is not celebrated by everybody, but certainly it is an important day on the calendar. And we're going into Ha'ir, which is also the day that was the original date for Yom Ha'atzmaut, and is still the official date for Yom Ha'atzmaut, when it falls out on a Wednesday. It falls out on a Wednesday. That's the one time in which even the Rabbanut says that it should still be observed on Ha'ir. So I thought that we would discuss in Inyan relating to Eretz Yisrael. Everybody, regardless of whether they say Hallel and Yom Ha'atzmaut, don't say Hallel, we say Hallel with a bracha, don't say Hallel with a bracha, whether they say Chatzi Hallel, whether they say Hallel Shalom, whether they say Hallel at the end of davening, whether they say Hallel after Shemona Esrei, everybody agrees that certainly the creation of the Medina, the ability of us to come back to Eretz Yisrael, settle in Eretz Yisrael, have yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, have communities in Eretz Yisrael, is a wonderful Nesim in Hashemayim, and something that we all should have tremendous Hakara Satov about. And it also opens up all types of possibilities of being able to be Mekayim in a much greater measure than we were before. Mitzvos Tzliyos Ba'aretz, not only to yearn for the day that we'll be able to walk on the land and live in the land of Eretz Yisrael, but to actually do it. And in that sense, whether you call it Ikvasa de Meshiko, whether you call it Aschalta de Geula, it certainly is a step closer to the direction that we want to go, a step closer to when we say L'shana Ba'avi Rishalayim Habniya. One of the wonderful things is the ability to live in the cities of Eretz Yisrael, and particularly to be able to live in the holiest of places, to be able to live in Yerushalayim, and now there's even the possibility of living in the Ir HaTika. People can have places in the old Seder Yerushalayim. The Rambam famously writes that even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even if you're of the opinion that Eretz Yisrael itself was kitcha l'shaita, below kitcha l'asilavo, that it doesn't retain its kedusha after the korban, which the Rambam holds that way with respect to the first korban, not really the second korban. But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says that for sure the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is never ever bottled, it never goes away, even after destruction it doesn't go away. Why? Because the Rambam explains very succinctly, because Shechina ain't a betela, because it's all about the Shechina, it's all about the divine presence that resides in this Makom Mekudash, in this most sacred, most holy of places, and that is never able to be nullified, even if enemies conquer the city, even when the enemies conquered and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, both Batei Mikdashos, nonetheless that Kedusha always remains. And the Rambam says this doesn't only apply to the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, this also applies to the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. There's something very, very special about Yerushalayim. And there are all kinds of laws which are applicable in particular to Yerushalayim that the Gemara speaks about. So I'd like to speak tonight a little bit about owning real estate in Yerushalayim, because this is such a wonderful option that we have nowadays, that Jews can actually own real estate in Yerushalayim. It's not only something which is applicable to the Jews who live, or zoche, to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael today, but even those of us who are still living in Chutz La'aretz, there's still the possibility of purchasing real estate in Eretz Yisrael. Is this a mitzvah? Certainly the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Ches Amud Beis indicates that this is a mitzvah, because the Gemara there allows a mila la'ak. Normally, you're not allowed on Shabbos to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for you, but the Gemara there indicates you could ask a non-Jew to do a malacha of writing for you if it's a real estate contract in order to purchase property in Eretz Yisrael, because this is such a tremendous mitzvah, such a tremendously high level mitzvah, that even though normally we don't allow a mila la'akum, we do allow a mila la'akum for the purpose of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi explains that the reason why this is so important, it's considered to be so urgent, that we would even allow a mila la'akum to ask a non-Jew to draw up a real estate contract on Shabbos so you could purchase a real estate in Eretz Yisrael, is because it's enabled you the garish of the kachavim relation of Yisrael, that you're driving out those individuals who are not of the Jewish nation, and you're enabling the Jewish nation to resettle Eretz Yisrael, because this is the land that was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban, similarly, in his elaboration of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban writes in his glosses to the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. The Rambam wrote the Sefer Mitzvos, in which he outlined 613 different mitzvos. And one of the big kashas on the Rambam's description of all of the mitzvos is that the Rambam left out the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He left out the mitzvah of settling in Israel. As Rosh Hashanah mentioned when he was here this past Shabbos, he did not leave out the mitzvah of establishing a malchus in Eretz Yisrael, that we should establish, as Rosh Hashanah put it, a medina. That is a mitzvah, according to the Rambam. But for some reason, the Rambam left out the particular listing of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of settling the land. So the Ramban has his essay, he has his positive commandments, which were left out by the Rambam, and he has them as a supplement to the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvos. These are the various mitzvos he says that the Rambam should have included, but he left out. And the Ramban includes the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of settling in the land of Israel, Yishavtem Ba'aretz, that you're supposed, I'm sorry? Yishavtem Ba'aretz, Yishavtem Ba, thank you, that you're supposed to inherit the land and settle in it. And the Ramban says that one of the aspects of this mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is Shelo Nazvea B'yad Zulasam Ha'umos, that one of the important fulfillments of this mitzvah is not to leave the land in the hands of other nations. So every single time that you acquire real estate in Eretz Yisrael, you are, even if you're not actually living there, you are fulfilling this notion of acquiring more property that will be in the hands of the Jewish nation, as opposed to real property that would be in the hands of the other Umos HaOlam who owned or occupied this land for all of the many, many centuries and millennia that we were driven out of Eretz Yisrael.
Does that mean you'd have to buy from a non-Jew?
Well, even if you're buying the land from a Jew, you're making sure that if there's a Jewish person who's selling the land, so by buying it, so you're ensuring that it remains within the fold, so to speak. The Avnei Nezer in the Shilos Tshuvos in Yoredeya, Simon Tuf Nun Dalet, also says that simply purchasing land in Eretz Yisrael is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, and now I want to focus upon ownership of property in Yerushalayim with respect to four questions. Number one, what?
Which Yerushalayim?
Well, that's part of what we're going to discuss, hopefully. Okay? Yerushalayim habnuya ki yesh shechuvah la yachdav. Yerushalayim shel zahav. Right? Okay, so is there a higher and more exalted, is there, yes. For Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, yes.
Would that apply in terms of, to a Ger Toshev who's allowed for it?
We're going to talk about Ger Toshev in a moment. Ger Toshev can live throughout the land of Israel, but there's a special din in Yerushalayim, that in Yerushalayim you're supposed to not even have a Ger Toshev necessarily living there. We have to figure that out as well. So is there a higher and more exalted inyan of living in Yerushalayim? If you're going to purchase real estate in Israel, should you? Is there a higher fulfillment if you're going to purchase the real estate in Yerushalayim? Second question is, what is the impact of the notion that the Gemara discusses in a couple of places? We have this in the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We have this in the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chavav, where the Gemara says that Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, that Yerushalayim was not allocated to the various Shvatim, to the various tribes, and is something which belongs to all of the Jewish people. It belongs to all the Jewish people, so we're told that there are various ramifications. One of the ramifications to that is that Yerushalayim maskivin batim b'Yerushalayim. If every single member of the Jewish nation has an equal claim with respect to Yerushalayim, that it was equally allocated to everybody, so then you don't have the right, if you would, so to speak, own property in Yerushalayim, to claim a higher degree of ownership than any other Jew, and therefore you can't rent property in Yerushalayim. So this presents a little bit of a formidable challenge, because if you're living in Chicago or somewhere else, and you own real estate in Yerushalayim, you're not going to live there most of the time, you might want to rent it out. And yet, what do we do with the halacha of e maskivin batim b'Yerushalayim, that you're not allowed to charge rent for your real estate in Yerushalayim? Number three, Are there any limitations regarding whom you're allowed to lease it out to? One of the laws that is discussed as well with respect to Yerushalayim, when we have the litany of laws relating to Yerushalayim that you'll find in Baba Kama Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis, is Ein Habayis that Eim Amidin Betocha Ger Toshav, that you do not have the real estate in Yerushalayim given out to somebody who is a Ger Toshav, somebody even if they are a perfectly respectable member of the nations of the world. The Ger Toshav means that they are civilized and they observe the seven Noahide laws. Nonetheless, you're not supposed to give out your land in Yerushalayim to even a Ger Toshav. It should only be to members of the Jewish people. So is that something which is applicable nowadays as well? And then number four, how do we define the boundaries of Yerushalayim for these purposes? When we speak about Yerushalayim, the question that you asked, what is Yerushalayim? Is Yerushalayim Yerushalayim Ha'atika? Is it the old city? Or is Yerushalayim the more broadly based, what we call Yerushalayim Ha'chadasha, New Yerushalayim, that includes all of the extended boundaries of Yerushalayim? So let's start with the first question of, is there a higher and more exalted inyan of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in terms of living in Yerushalayim? So the Tzitz Eliezer actually says this outright. Tzitz Eliezer in Source Code Base, which is Chelek Yudalin, Simon Nun Base. So if you take a look, he says that the Hinei Bevadai Bevadai, that it's not a question at all. Sheyeshno inyan gadol adipus rabba lagor gam biyushalayim achadasha miyal yeser arei haaretz. That it is a higher level of fulfillment to live in Yerushalayim than in all of the other places in Eretz Yisrael. Bashir hiki ir shechuba lo yaktav samuk v'nirei lepaltumin shomelach. Because it is the closest city to the Makom HaMikudash Biyoter, because it's right next to, it's the Beis HaMikdash, it's right next to the place of the greatest holiness. The Rambam says the Shekhinah never leaves Yerushalayim under any circumstances, so of course Yerushalayim is on a higher level in terms of the fulfillment of this notion. And he says that because it's Samach L'Shar HaShemayim, it's considered to be adjacent on some level, like Yaakov Avinu said, to Shara Shamayim, to the gates of heaven. So obviously that would entail a greater fulfillment if one would be living in Yerushalayim. So that is what the Tzitz Eliezer says. Furthermore, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was once asked, and this is quoted by Rav Abiner, Rav Shlomo Abiner, who is, I believe, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ateres Kohanim in Yerushalayim. So he said that he once spoke to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and Rav Aaron says, Shekashir Nishal, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was asked, Maya Osei Meir Million Dollar Shechlin Nadvonechav L'chalik L'mosle Satorah, if he was given $100 million, a very interesting question to ask Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, said, if he was given $100 million and somebody who wanted to build up institutions of Torah, what would he do with that money? Would he build, like, you know, at the Brisker Yeshiva in Chicago so that it'd be like the most colossal organization, an institution ever? What would he do with $100 million? Nuach lata haisa biyado, if the choice was in the hands of Rav Aaron, heishiv, so he answered, the vinyan Yerushalayim ben achomos. I would give that money in order to build up the Yerushalayim, specifically the Ir HaAtika, the holiest places of Yerushalayim. That's what I would do. I would build up Torah institutions in that area. That was the answer, says Rav Abiner, that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik gave him. And he says, Rav Abiner goes on to say, that if we are commanded to redeem all of the portions of the land of Eretz Yisrael, Kol Shekein Lev Eretz Yisrael, certainly that portion of Israel which is at the heart of Eretz Yisrael. What's at the heart of Eretz Yisrael? That is Yerushalayim HaBniyah, Ki Ir Shechuba LaYaktav, that certainly is at the heart of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim Shonischalka L'Shvatim, Yerushalayim that belongs to all of the Jewish people, Ukechol She'alei Bari Kol Ha'Ivarim Bariyim. And the healthier the heart, the healthier the entire person. And Yerushalayim, after all, is our lev, it is our heart. So therefore, there is a very special affection that we all have, particularly with respect to Yerushalayim and with respect to the ability to live in Yerushalayim. But then, let's say that the person now acquires real estate, an apartment, in a house in Yerushalayim, but again, hopes one day to be able to settle there and reside there all the time, but in the meantime is living outside of Eretz Yisrael most of the time and has to rent at the apartment. We know also that you can get better price rentals sometimes if you rent for short periods at a time. And if you rent for short periods, you can pick up premium pricing during certain seasons of the year, such as the regalim, the shalosh regalim. You can really, charge a pretty penny, as opposed to if you just rent for 1 or 2 years at a time. And also this way, if you rent out for isolated periods, you can also find a time in which nobody will be occupying the apartment, and then that might be the period that you're going to go to Yerushalayim during the year. So how does Halakha look upon this when it comes to the renting out of the apartments within Yerushalayim? So what do we do with Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the various Shvatim. That's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. You see that in the sugyos over here, first in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, describes the machlokus. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Yerushalayim was in fact Nischalka L'Shvatim. It was in fact just like all of the other lands of Eretz Yisrael were given to specific tribes, so to Yerushalayim was given to specific tribes. It was given to the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin. They split up different portions of Yerushalayim, and therefore just there is no special status in this respect that Yerushalayim is lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. And we paskin like the Chachamim. We paskin like the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold Yerushalayim lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. So says the Gemara that there were all kinds of the different ramifications if you hold like that view. Number one, we would say that you don't bring an Egla Rufa in Yerushalayim. If somebody was killed and they were found closest to Yerushalayim than any other city, Yerushalayim wouldn't have to bring an Egla Rufa. Why is that? Because it says with respect to Egla Rufa, Ki matzi chalaba adama shir Hashem alokecha nosein l'chad rishta, that you have to find the corpse near a city that Hashem has given l'cha to a specific tribe l'rishta to inherit. But if we say Yerushalayim l'niskakel l'shvatim, it wasn't given to anybody to inherit. It was given to all of the Jewish people, so therefore it's excluded from Egla Rufa. According to the Chachamim, it wasn't, right? That's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, or so it would seem. Similarly, says the Gemara, the rules of Irani Dachas, of destroying everybody and everything in a city, because the people worshipped the Avodah Zarah, so the people who worship would be put to death and all their possessions would be destroyed and so forth, that is only with respect to other cities, but not with respect to Yerushalayim, because it says, Be'achas Arecha, it says that this only applies to something which is particularized as a city that belongs to only specific Shvatim. Similarly, with respect to Tumas Tzaras, if you found leprosy on the walls of a house in Yerushalayim, say the Chachamim wouldn't be subject to Tumas Tzaras, because there it says, V'nasati neged Tzaras beveis eretz achuzaschem. It has to be subject to achuzah, it has to be subject to inheritance, and so forth and so forth. And the Gemara goes on to say, and similarly, since Yerushalayim does not, according to the Chachamim, does not belong to anyone in particular, it's Eina Shelahen. You don't have an ownership right with respect to Yerushalayim. Emaskimim batim Yerushalayim. You also can't rent out property in Yerushalayim. Now, it follows that if you are, if you hold like the Chachamim, then you also should not agree to this entire opinion that Yerushalayim was allocated to Binyamin and to Yehuda. It's allocated to everybody. So the Gemara says that there is a teaching of Chazal that the Beis HaMikdash was in the portion of Binyamin, and where the Mizbeach was supposed to be built. But since Yehuda also had certain rights to that Makom, so there was some gerrymandering that went on, because the portion of the Mizbeach that was on the eastern portion of the Mizbeach and the southern portion of the Mizbeach was really in Yehuda's portion. And this made Binyamin very upset. Binyamin got very upset about this, because Binyamin wanted the entirety of the Mizbeach to be in their portion. And in fact, on some level, they were entitled entitled to the entirety of the Mizbeach being in their portion. That is the Targum on the Pasuk, Baboker Yochal Ad. So the Gemara actually even gives you the Targum in the Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Nun Gimel. The Gemara says that the translation of the Targum of Baboker Yochal Ad is Bachsante Tispani Midbacha. That in the portion of Binyamin, that's where the Mizbeach is going to be built. So Binyamin was upset about this strip that went along the southern portion and the eastern portion of the Mizbeach that belonged to Yehuda, and explains the Gemara, that's why that strip does not have any built-up portion of the Mizbeach on it. It's an empty portion. And that's why there is no Keren, there is no Yesod, there is no base, no physical base on the southern eastern part of the Mizbeach. It was without a base. But says the Gemara, that only makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, the Yerushalayim was not Nischaka L'Shvatim, so you never had this allocation specifically to Yehuda and Binyamin, and therefore it should follow that the Mizbeach should have a base. So the Tosfos in Maseches Yuma Daf Yudbeis Amud Aleph, this is source 3, asks a question. It says Tema to prepare Esu Mekomon Amilin to Karen Jomis Mizrachis Lo Ayah Lo Yisod. The Gemara in Zvachim indicates, unlike the Gemara in Yuma, that this was not necessarily only according to Rabbi Yehuda, but even according to the Chachamim, the Mizbeach on the southern eastern side did not have a base because it could not be built in a portion that belonged to Yehuda when the entire Mizbeach had to be built in the portion of Binyamin exclusively. So how does that work out, given that we paskin like the Chachamim, the Yerushalayim, lo nischaka l'shvatim? So Tosfos gives an answer. So the answer that Tosfos gives is, v'yesh lomar, hachi gemiri, shlo lasos yisod l'mizrachis dromis, says that it must be that even according to the Chachamim, it's a special Gzeiras HaKasuv, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving instructions about how to build the Mizbeach, even assuming that there was no specific allocation of the space to either Yehuda or Binyamin, the Mizbeach was required to be built in such a way that there would be no base built on the southern eastern corner of the Mizbeach, as it says in Divrei HaYomim, that everything was directed by a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and this is a special Gzeiras HaKasuv that it had to be built in this fashion. Yes. Does that the mosque? Well, you're talking about the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah.
The Dome of the Rock, I think, was built basically in the same area the Beis Hamikdash was supposed to be built. But the machlokas here is not whether or not that belongs to us. Obviously, all of that area is supposed to belong to us. The question is this something which belongs to all of Bnei Yisrael together in terms of ownership, or is it something that was specifically allocated towards the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin? That's the question that we're discussing. So it's very interesting that it seems like the Gemara is assuming both ways, that Yerushalayim lo nischaka l'shvatim, and at the same time, there was no base on the corner of the southern eastern part of the Mizbeach, which only makes sense to require that there be no base if Yerushalayim can nischaka l'shvatim. And the Tosfos answers, no, maybe we can explain that this is just the way the Mizbeach was supposed to be built. But the Kesef Mishnah, in commenting on the Rambam, says that when the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perek Beis, that the Mizbeach, it did not have a Yesod, it did not have this foundation, this base, on the southern eastern portion of the Mizbeach. The Kesef Mishnah says, in this is source test, that the reason for that is because it was in the Chalik of Yehuda, and the Mizbeach had to be built exclusively in the Chalik of Binyamin, and therefore, in order to avert that problem, that's the reason why the Rambam paskins, like the Gemara says, that the southern eastern portion of the Mizbeach did not have a base. So at the same time, the Rambam also paskins that Yerushalayim lo nischaka l'shvatim. That is the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Zayin Halacha Yudalim, where the Rambam says that we paskin ein maskim b'soch abatim, you can't rent out homes in Yerushalayim, and ein abayis neklat ba. What does that mean, ein abayis neklat ba? So that's in the laws of Bate Arichoma. The laws of Bate Arichoma is that if you sell a house in a walled city, so after the person who sells it can redeem it after 1 year, up to 1 year, but after 1 year he can't redeem it anymore. So it says the Rambam that because of the fact that there's no real ownership interest, the person who sells it has the ability to redeem it even after 1 year, and he also passes for Enam Etamim Ben Egayim, and Enam Nase Sivan Idachas, Enam Abiyah Egla Rufa, Lefishlon Ischak Lishvatim, because of Ishlaim Lishlon Ischak Lishvatim. So how do you reconcile this, the way the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam? You couldn't be answered like Tosfos, you have to answer a different way. So one way, so there are different answers that are given. The one of the people who asks this question is none other than the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish points out that even if you look at the Psukim in the Torah, look at the Psukim in Nach, the Psukim in Nach indicate very, very clearly that there was some sort of an ownership interest that the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin had with respect to the to Yerushalayim. Where does it say? It says, for example, that the Yebusi Yoshve Yerushalayim Lo Yakum Bnei Yisrael the Harisham. It says that the Yebusi He Yerushalayim Zos Nachlas Bnei Binyamin. So it says over and over again, different portions of Yerushalayim were assigned to the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin. We have many psukim that say that they were supposed to inherit these different lands. So the Chazon Ish says that that you have to distinguish. He says that they're the king and aguf. As far as the actual ownership of the physical land of Yerushalayim, the adjacent areas, that belonged to Yehuda and Binyamin. That's what the Chazon Ish says. But he says, when we say that lo nischalka l'shvatim, lo nischalka l'shvatim means that everybody had, shelechol Yisrael zuchus shimush bebom Yerushalayim. Everybody just had, it belonged to Yehuda and Binyamin, but they were obligated to let everybody take advantage of it. That's the idea. In other words, it's like an easement. It's like the Shemitah year. You own property, but you got to let everybody eat the fruit. So that's what the Chazon Ish says. Rav Soloveitchik says something very similar. Rav Soloveitchik said that you have to distinguish between a kinyan mammon and a kinyan iser. As far as mammonis was concerned, as far as the monetary laws was concerned, he says a little bit differently from the Chazon Ish, so then it belonged equally to everybody. When we speak about who had the rights to different areas of the Beis HaMikdash, that's not talking about monetary rights. You can't sell the Aron, you can't sell the menorah, you can't sell the shulchan, you can't sell the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's a king in Isser. It meant that the holiness of those areas were attributable to Binyamin and Yehuda. Not that they had ownership rights to those areas. As far as the ownership rights are concerned, that applied equally throughout Yerushalayim to all of Klal Yisrael. That's how we're able to reconcile these different psukim. But the bottom line is that however you understand the principle of Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, one of the ramifications is going to be whether deep down there really is an ownership interest that Yehuda and Binyamin have, whether from a monetary perspective or whether from a ritual perspective, nobody's going to be able to rent out apartments in Yerushalayim. So we're stuck with our original problem. Yes?
Sort of related to this concept, if you buy today land, I think anywhere in Israel with a few exceptions, and I think the only exception in Yerushalayim might be the Catholic Church, I think the Armenians. The Armenian, I think there's an exception to what I'm about to say, to the Catholic Church and the Armenian Church. Most land in Israel is not freehold, meaning when you buy it, like when we bought our house in Beit Shemesh, you bought a 99-year land lease and you bought the rights to the improvements.
Is that
based on this halakhic concept that there's no true ownership?
I doubt very much if it is based upon that concept. I very much doubt it.
Based more on the socialistic concept.
I think so. Okay, so I'd like to launch into different answers as to how we can justify or explain the renting out of apartments in Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh. First, let me take your question.
How about just simply everybody owns it, and Yehuda Midyami are custodians? They're the ones in charge. They're opposite of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was saying Yehuda Midyami owns it, and everybody else has easements.
Uh-huh.
No, everybody owns it. Everybody loans chalta lishvatim. But the ones who are custodians taking care of it, who are in charge of it, on behalf of everybody, is Yehuda Binyamin. So I mean, somebody has to be in charge. Somebody has to be managing. They're the managers on behalf of all Jews.
Maybe you could say that within the Chazon Ish on some level. If you say it's their kinyan haguf, so maybe that means they ultimately maintain a certain responsibility, right? Okay, so everyone else has this. Of course, you could say that within the Chazon Ish. You can easily. It's a very good argument. You could say that within the Chazon Ish. So one possibility is that maybe this law only applies to the Ir Atika. Maybe it only applies to the Old City. Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a letter, very interesting letter. This is published in Tuchumen, the journal Tuchumen, the 10th volume of the journal Tuchumen. He says like this. He says, Yerushalayim HaMekudesh Yisashonim B'Habi Alokos B'Kol Eretz HaKadosha. The holy Yerushalayim that's treated differently from the rest of Israel for many different laws, including this one, right, that you can't rent out land. Hirak Yerushalayim HaTika. It's only the old city. Plat L'Chela Katam HaTzion, except for maybe a little portion from HaTzion. Anything outside of the wall, we call it Yerushalayim. It's not really Yerushalayim. It's just some other part of Israel. So if you did a wedding in the Plaza Hotel, you're going to write, or the Sheraton, whatever it's called these days, so you would write Yerushalayim, you're not going to write Tel Aviv. But not that it really has the holiness of Yerushalayim. Well, Einzu Yerushalayim, not really Yerushalayim. The one exception would be with respect to the reading of the Megillah, because there we have laws that any part which is samach v'nira, if it's near Yerushalayim or you can see Yerushalayim from that portion, so the halakha when it comes to Megillah and reading Megillah Esther is that you treat those areas like they are part of Yerushalayim that you would read on the 15th day of Adar as opposed to the 14th day of Adar. But that's not necessarily because they're part of Yerushalayim, it's just because there's a din of samach v'nira when it comes to the reading of the Megillah. But otherwise, says with Shlomo Zalman Orbach, none of these places have the din of Yerushalayim. Now, the problem with this answer is, what if you own an apartment in the Ir Atika and you want to rent it out? That's really prime real estate. You want to, you know, make some good money and you want to have a place which is going to enable you to rent it out so you can be in the Ir Atika. So according to this explanation, you would be stuck and you would only be able to rent out real estate outside of the Ir Atika, but not in the Ir Atika itself. But that, and not only that, though, it's not clear that this is really correct, because the Tzitz Eliezer, in the very same tshuva, says something really fascinating. He says, "Gam lo bavur heichan igu agvulos asher Yerushalayim iskatcha." You think it's so clear that the holiness of Yerushalayim only extends to the old city? It's not clear to me at all that if people live outside of the walls of the old city, even if it's distantly into Yerushalayim HaKadosha, you're living on, I don't know, Ramot. I know about Ramot, but you're living on King George Street or something. You're living somewhere in Shari Chesed V'Chavia. It's perfectly possible that that is really within the initial contours of the area that was endowed with the holiness of Yerushalayim. Tzitz Eliezer says he's not convinced that it only applies to Ir Atika. And the Radbaz, who wrote about this issue much earlier, the Radbaz lived at the same time as the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, he said that he thinks that all of the chumras of Yerushalayim were imposed b'chol tchum Yerushalayim, in the entire extended area of Yerushalayim. Radbaz did not necessarily buy this restriction that it would only be within the Ir Ha'atika. You might say that it's dependent upon a certain chakira that you'll find in the writings of Rav Shechter. He wrote an article called Kirya Yerushalayim, Kiryas Melech Rab, in which Rav Shechter writes that there are two different aspects of Yerushalayim. On the one hand, Yerushalayim is an extension of the Kiddush of the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, Yerushalayim is the Ir HaBirah. It's the capital city. It's like the city with the quintessential holiness of Eretz Yisrael itself. Eretz Yisrael also contains a certain holiness. So it might be considered to be the ultimate holiness of Eretz Yisrael, or it might be considered to be an extension of the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash. If you understand these laws that were enacted by Chazal, that, for example, you can't rent out houses of Yerushalayim, as exemplifying the holiness of Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, as the capital, it's available to everybody. It wasn't divided to amongst a particular Shevet or Shvatim. So then you might say that there's no reason to distinguish between the portion of Yerushalayim which is closest in its holiness to the Beis HaMikdash, namely the Yer Atika, or any other part of the extended Yerushalayim. And then we would say that there's more of an argument to apply this rule to all of Yerushalayim. If I say that it is an extension of the Beis HaMikdash area, so then there's more of an argument to say that it would only apply to Yerushalayim Yer Atika. In fact, you can apply this Chakira to another question as well. Another question that you might ask is, well, when we say Yerushalayim wasn't divided amongst the Shvatim, maybe that's talking about the Karka, the land of Yerushalayim. But let's say you don't live on the land itself. You live on the third floor. Gagin. You're living at Gagin Va'aliyos. Yeah, so we know that Gagin Va'aliyos lo niskatshu. That we, generally speaking, we say if you're eating, for example, the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to, you don't eat the Korban Pesach on the rooftops, you gotta eat it on a floor apartment, because Gagin Va'aliyos lo niskatshu. Do I say that with respect to these dinim as well? Maybe these dinim don't apply to somebody who's living on the third floor or the fourth floor. So Tzitz Eliezer rejects that. He says, Gagin Va'aliyos lo niskatshu. Maybe we don't paskin that way. Even if we do paskin that way, maybe it's only about the roofs and the upper stories that existed at the time that the Azara was built and not anything that's built afterwards. So he goes on and he says, the Kedusha Elyon of Yerushalayim certainly applies to all the Gagin Va'aliyos and not just to the bottom story. That's sort of a separate din, just in terms of where you're allowed to eat kachim, but you could apply the same analysis. Is the Ritva, the Rosh Hashanah quotes, who says that Maiser Sheni, you could eat on the rooftops, the Gagin and the upper stories, Gagin Valios, even though Kachim Kalim, generally speaking, the Kachim, like Shlomim and Maiser, you would not be allowed to eat on the rooftops. So he says, what's the source of this distinction of the Ritva? He says, because Kachim Kalim are an extension of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. He's a Kabbarnas in the Beis HaMikdash. Maiser Sheni is not a Korban that's born in the Beis HaMikdash. That's an extension of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, that you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So that's why you could eat it on the Gagin Va'aliyos, because Gagin Va'aliyos on Iskachu, with respect to any din that applies to Yerushalayim in its status as the Ir HaBira, as the capital city, which has the ultimate holiness of Eretz Yisrael. So again, if we understand this din of Emaskim Batim Yerushalayim as an extension of the holiness of all of Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to a diminished Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, so then it would apply to upper apartments as well. You have Wolfson Towers, you're on the 15th floor or something, would apply to those apartments as well, though we would still have this problem of Eim Askim and Batid Yerushalayim. So therefore we haven't completely gotten ourselves out of the woods yet. What's another possible answer or another possible approach? So interestingly, one of the Meforshim on the Rambam, the Mari Korkus, okay? The Mari Korkus asks this question, okay? This is a very early source. The Mari Korkus says, how is it nowadays? His nowadays is not our nowadays. His nowadays, there are hardly any Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. He said, how is it that the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael nowadays are renting out their apartments in Yerushalayim? That was the question that he asked, and he was speaking presumably even about the Ir HaAtika. And he gave a couple of answers. One answer that he gave is based on a Rashi. If you take a look at the Rashi, when Rashi speaks about this is source Yud Gimel on page 3, when the Rashi speaks about the Gemara Maseches Megillah, that says, Emaskim Batim B'Yerushalayim. So Rashi says, what does that mean? You don't rent out the apartments in Yerushalayim. He says, Bavei Batim Es Bateim La'Ovei Regolim. You don't rent out your apartment to those people who are coming up to Yerushalayim for the Shalosh Regolim. El Bechinam Nosim Lehem Niknasim Lasokam. Rather, you have to give it to them for free and allow them to simply utilize your space, because it's really everybody's space when it comes to the Shalosh Regolim. So he says, maybe it's only a din of Shalosh Regolim. Maybe this din of Ein Maskimen is not a din that applies the entire year. You look at the Chazon Ish says Ein Maskimen is based on the fact that we have no ownership interest. There's no difference between Shalosh Regolim and the rest of the year. He certainly doesn't distinguish. But from the Lashon of Rashi, you get the sense that maybe you would distinguish between the Shalosh Regolim and the rest of the year. So says the Mari Korkus, nowadays, there's no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. The Rad Bazel says, there's no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel of people having to come up to Yerushalayim for the Shalosh Regolim. And therefore, you could say, maybe this is only a din when you have Aliyah L'Regel on the Shalosh Regolim, and therefore it's not applicable anymore. Either it's only applicable to the time, the days in which you have Shalosh Regolim, Or even nowadays, you could say maybe it's applicable only during the Shalosh Regalim, not the rest of the year. But that's only if there's still a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Tashbait says that maybe nowadays there is some sort of a Zeichah L'Aliyah L'Regel that should still be observed nowadays. If you hold like the Tashbait, so maybe you could just say, okay, so don't rent your apartment during Yom Tov, but you could rent it the rest of the year. That doesn't sound so good. That's the best time to rent is during Yom Tov. That's when you're going to get the best price. But according to this Rashi, maybe it would follow that either it's only applicable to when there was a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Even today, maybe there's still some sort of a penumbra of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, so you should be more careful not to rent out during the Shalosh Regalim, but you can rent during the rest of the year. So that's one approach that is quoted by the Mari Korkis. And the Mari Korkis has another very, very interesting approach. Mari Korkis says, I'll give you another explanation. I just made reference to it, but I would have to type it because I couldn't cut and paste the Mari Korkis. Mari Korkis was an early authority who is a commentary on the Rambam, and I believe he's a Rishon. So the Mari Korkis gives a second explanation. He says, "Emas b'imbatim b'Yerushalayim" means that you have no right to profiteer off a property in Yerushalayim, but you're not obligated to lose money from your property in Yerushalayim. So he said, in his days, anybody who had real estate in Yerushalayim, it's because they had to pay a top dollar for it in order to buy it from the Arabs. Therefore, they needed to recover their investment. If you wouldn't allow people to rent out the apartment, they would end up losing. Even the Gemara talks about you couldn't rent out the apartment, so when people would come they would stay in your apartment in Yerushalayim during the Shalosh Regalim, they would bring korbanos, they would bring a korban shlamim, for example. They would bring their korban shlamim, and they would have the hides of the animal that they would be allowed to keep. Because you didn't have to give the hides of the animal to the Kohanim unless they was kachim. It was kachim kalim, so the owners kept the hides of the animal. So the people who were the owners or the general, the usual occupiers of the real estate would simply grab the hides from their guests. They would say, look, you're not paying me rent, at least give me the hides. You know, so they would take something. So nowadays, we don't get the hides because people are bringing kobana, so there are no hides to grab from the people. So he says, so you're entitled to something, so you're not going to end up suffering a loss. So Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita has this incredible article. You know, Yitzchak Zilberstein has like these really fascinating halacha lemaisa questions of people who come and say, I have an intruder who's coming to my property. Can I set up a trap so that, you know, the person will be killed as soon as they enter my property? Can I poison my sandwich because they're stealing my lunches? Can I poison my lunch so that the person will eat it and they'll die? Is that a problem? You know, really like questions that you just couldn't even begin to imagine he has in his various farm. And the answers you also usually would not even begin to imagine as well. But fascinating, great stuff. So he has an article in which he says the following question came to him. Somebody went and they rented an apartment for a period of time in Yerushalayim, not just regular Yerushalayim, we're talking Ir HaAtikah. You can't get out of this one. It was an Ir HaAtikah, and then after spending the 1 or 2 months that he was renting the apartment, the landlord turned to him and said, okay, it's time for you to pay up according to the terms of lease. And the guy responded, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, Yerushalayim is not for sale, don't you know? And therefore he said, I'm not paying the rent for this period that I was in your apartment. So they wrote to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, what's the din? What's the halacha? Can the landlord compel this guy to pay for staying in his apartment in Yerushalayim? So Yitzchak Zilberstein quoted this Mari Korkis, and he said, well, you know, one possibility is that it's not applicable at all nowadays, but then again, according to the second answer of the Mari Korkis, maybe it is applicable, and it really just depends on whether the landlord would otherwise suffer a loss. So he says, well, it depends. If he received if he moved into his apartment in Ir HaAtikah because it was abandoned by the previous Arab residents and he didn't have to pay a penny for it, so then he doesn't really suffer a loss at all in terms of his ownership of this property. So then, arguably, he doesn't have the right to charge rent. He says, so that's how he leaves it. It's sort of a little bit... He doesn't talk about the Yerusha case. Well, maybe he does, I don't remember. But similarly, if you would get it for Yerusha and you didn't pay for it, so then you wouldn't have the right to charge rent. You could go a little bit further. If you have a couple that moved in because the in-laws bought the apartment for them and they didn't have to expend their own money for it, so they're not going to otherwise suffer loss. They don't have a mortgage or anything on the apartment. So then it would follow that in those circumstances, arguably, the person would not have the right to charge rent under those circumstances. Very, very fascinating approach. Rav Chanan Wasserman, one second. Rav Chanan Wasserman writes very interestingly something along similar lines. Rav Chanan Wasserman says, well, you know what? You don't have the right to charge for the actual real estate of Yerushalayim, but you do have the right to charge for the Eitzim Ba'avonim. You have the right to charge for the building that was built upon the real estate. Says Rav Chanan Wasserman, it's just that if that's the case, so then you should be able to charge for the entire year. But he said Chazal made a special takana. This is, you know, maybe explaining the Shita of Rashi a little bit, or maybe it's saying a little differently. Said Chazal made a special takana that they said that because we don't want you to fleece those individuals who are the pilgrims who are coming in for the Shalosh Regalim, so we say that we're not even going to allow you to charge rent for Eitzim Ba'avonim, for the building materials that enable the apartment to have taken shape when it comes to the Shalosh Regalim. But really the rest of the year, you can't charge for the karka, but you would be allowed to charge for the Eitzim Ba'avonim. So if you follow the approach of Rav Chanan Wasserman, so then you can say again that perhaps it would be applicable nowadays, that maybe the din is applicable nowadays, maybe it's not dependent upon the Aliyah L'Regel, but that the din is only applicable during the Shalosh Regalim. That the rest of the year you're allowed to charge for Eitzim Ba'avonim. And then the question is, do we revoke the Takanas Chazal that you can't charge during the Shalosh Regalim when there is no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel? Do we say there's enough of a of an inyan of Aliyah L'Regel that you still shouldn't be allowed to do this nowadays? So he says that you would have the right technically speaking to charge for the eitzim ba'avonim. That's what he argues. Yes.
So two things. First of all, you have the eitzim ba'avonim, but you also have a cost. I mean, I own this land, and let's say I didn't have a gross price for it. I still got to pay insurance. I still got to pay. In Israel, they call it arnona.
You say, according to, if you really are suffering a loss that you're not otherwise going to be able to recover. But let's say, for example, that you're renting it out during the rest of the year, okay? Other than the Shalosh Regalim. And the amount that you're making the rest of the year covers your arnona and covers your mortgage and covers everything else. Now you just want to make a little bit of extra money during the Shalosh Regalim. And somebody wants to just rent the apartment during the Shalosh Regalim. So maybe according to this approach, maybe you should refrain from doing so. I'm not saying for sure. These are just the different considerations that have to be taken into account.
And then going back to Rabbi Zilberstein, Shaila, I don't know how you even have to go to all this, how it's not Gedeva Dot. I let you use the apartment. We signed a shtar, assumingly there's some sort of lease or contract or some sort of memorialized agreement that I'm going to let you stay here, I'm going to pay the taxes, I'm going to keep the lights on, and at the end of it, you're going to pay me X. Now you're finding a reason not to pay me X. How do I even need to go here? How is that just not Gedeva Dot? It's almost like asserting an affirmative defense where there is none.
It's a good question, but maybe, you know, the person could say that they had no choice, or maybe they didn't know the halacha. Maybe when they moved in, they didn't know the halacha. It was a mekaptos. Nobody told them the halacha, that the landlord had no right to charge rent. Now they found out the halacha.
If that's the case, once they learned the halacha,
they were only mechayev themselves based on false pretenses. They don't want to commit an aveira. It's going to be an aveira if they give money to this guy. They'll argue. Because this person is violating the precept of Eimaskir Matim Yerushalayim. But then the kindness of their heart and their altruism, they don't want the landlord to violate this aveira. That's why they don't want to pay rent.
But then they had a duty, once they learned the halacha, they had a duty to say to the landlord, look, we got a problem. We signed it. It's a voidable contract.
They found that
the subject matter
was found out once the rent was over. And they
it's
said
amazing
to somebody,
how that happened.
Yes, isn't it amazing?
Amazing?
You're a lawyer. You know
happens.
These things happen all the time.
All
right?
The time.
It's truly incredible. But I have another kasha. Okay, here's the kasha. The kasha is, how can anybody own the real estate in the first place? If the idea is that the Yerushalayim L'Nischak L'Shvatim, you can't charge rent because it belongs to everybody, so what are you doing owning it in the first place? What are you doing owning it in the first place? And what is it, and how in the world it does? Is there a possibility? We say, Eina bayis chalupa, that if you sold the house to somebody else, so we say your right of redemption doesn't expire after 1 year. You could redeem it afterwards. How do you have a right to sell it in the first place? How does the other guy have the right to buy it in the first place if Yerushalayim L'Nischak L'Shvatim? The whole thing doesn't seem to make any sense. And in fact, on this principle that the Gemara talks about, the ena bias chalupa, that there is no din of the of a bias becoming chaluta, becoming completely completely sold forever in perpetuity to the hands of the purchaser. There is another interpretation of ena bias chalupa. Look at source. Look at source 19 over here. The Shita Mikubetz is the Baba Kama Daf Pei Beis Amar Beis Eina Bayis Chalupa. So in source 18 we have our standard explanation of Rashi. Eina Bayis Chalupa Kedin Bate Ari Choma Lagula Tielo Miyotze Legom Miyagia Yoba Yotze Biyoba Kebate Ari Chatserim, that the owner will be allowed to redeem it forever even after 1 year. Shita Mikubetz says, you know why Eina Bayis Chalupa? Eina Bayis Chalupa simply means something else entirely. It means the bias can't be sold. You cannot purchase an apartment in any real meaningful sense in Yerushalayim. It says, how can anybody buy it? You can't sell it, you can't buy it. So what do you do with this problem? So in addressing this problem, Rav David Pardo. Rav David Pardo was an Achron who lived in the 18th century. He eventually settled in Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote a sefer called the Chasdei David. And he quoted from an Avos to Rabbi Nosson in Perek Lamed Hei to address this issue. And he says something very fascinating that addresses both how it is that a person can own the real estate in the first place, and yet how at the same time we apply the principle that you cannot rent the real estate. And he says as follows. I'm going to read from his Lashon. He says, it says in Avos to Rabbi Nosson, Ein mokim babatim ela min hakarkos lemala. It says in Avos to Rabbi Nosson, you cannot sell houses in Yerushalayim unless you're selling what goes above the ground. Min hakarkos ulemala. Ve'ein bochen ambayis letzmisus besoch alaka yud beis kodesh, and you can't sell the house forever. And he explains like this. He says, you cannot sell the real estate itself, ela binyan shetach ba. But the actual binyan, the actual building that you built on the real estate, that you would be allowed to, technically. That is your kinyan, v'shayach b'machila. And therefore he says, you have the right to sell it, you have the right to sell it, but because of the fact that the real estate can't be sold, that's why you can always redeem it even after 12 months, because the real estate on the bottom can never ever depart from you. So then he says, this we only apply to selling and buying, but not to renting. Selling and buying, we're going to allow in terms of the building that's above the karka. But when it comes to renting, listen to his lashon. Why is it that we're not going to allow you to rent? Oh, you'll just rent the portion that's above the actual karka. He says, no, that we're not going to allow. Because the people who need to rent are probably visitors. They're only there for a period of time. He's not restricting it to the Olei Regal. The entire year, he says, you shouldn't rent. Anyone who comes to Yerushalayim, even if it's the rest of the year, they're coming for mitzvah. They're coming to spend a week learning in Mir Yeshiva. That's why they're coming to Yerushalayim. You don't come to Yerushalayim if it's not for a mitzvah, right? They're coming to fulfill mitzvahs. You go on the Hakriv Korbanim, whether it's to bring korbanos. It's not nice. You're going to charge rent, but people are just coming up to your shrine for a few days to do a mitzvah. Not nice. The mistama ain't showing shem harbe. They're not going to stay there that long. Don't charge them money for it. Since that the bottom line is that at the bottom of the foundation, the land, the actual karka, belongs to all of Yisrael, so therefore we're not going to charge rent to anybody. But as far as selling, I don't have a problem with. In other words, it comes out that the reason why schirus is problematic is because it's for shorter spurts of time when people are just coming up for a brief period of time in order to fulfill a mitzvah. It comes out, according to Chasdei David, something absolutely extraordinary, that when you're renting a real estate in Yerushalayim, it's more problematic to rent for shorter spurts of time than to rent over a longer period of time. If you rent out the apartment for 1 year, you rent it out over 2 years, so that's like a mechira. That's like a semi-mechira. So that you're just basically renting out the use of the building space for that period of time. And it's reasonable to say over such a long period of time, the people are not just there for the mitzvah, they're there to live, and you have the right to charge for that. But if you're going to just divide the rentals into short spurt periods of people who come for 1 week, another couple comes for 2 weeks, this one comes for 3 weeks, you'll get more money out of it, but that's more problematic because that's exactly what the halacha, the Eimas Yim Batim Yerushalayim, was trying to discourage. It was saying that people were only coming for short spurts to Yerushalayim to fulfill various mitzvahs, so that's exactly what it is that the halacha doesn't want you to do. So it comes out that in the totality of this examination, if you have a house outside of the Eira Atika, you're probably in better shape in terms of renting the apartments of Yerushalayim in terms of this halacha. It's going to, the more you have a house in the Eira Atika, so the more that it's going to be potentially problematic. The more that you're doing the rental specifically targeted during the Shalosh Regalim, so the more problematic that's going to be, unless you say that the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel simply doesn't apply altogether nowadays. And the more in which the rental is taking place during any shorter targeted period of time as opposed to a longer period of time, so that's also going to be more problematic. And the more in which you don't need the money because you're otherwise free and clear of any of your debts relating to the apartment, so the more problematic that's going to be. The best situation will be the person who has the apartment in Yerushalayim HaKadoshah, has a huge mortgage that he has to pay, and is renting it out to somebody over like a 2 year lease term. That's going to be the best situation. The most questionable situation will be a person who's renting out Dafka for the Shalosh Regalim at a really high price and he doesn't need the money because there's no mortgage whatsoever and it's in the heart of the Eira Atika. So you have to just figure out how to play with these various variables. I'll just conclude by mentioning a very fascinating Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah in Baba Basra, Daf Kof Kof Beis Amud Aleph, talks about what's going to be in the future. A person wants to invest in the future, right? What's going to be in the future? We say, Yishlaim al-Ishchalka l'shvatim, so everything's just going to become a free-for-all. Maybe it makes more sense to invest in some other place where it's possible that your shevet will be in that place and you'll be able to hold on to the real estate afterwards. So he writes, the Yad Ramah, La'asid lavo afili Yishlaim asma asidil Ishchalak yud be'shvatim. In the future, regardless of what the din is now, when Mashiach comes, Yerushalayim is actually going to be split. Every single shevet is going to have a real, specified, particularized portion in Yerushalayim. So therefore, anybody who buys in Yerushalayim, it's possible that they bought in the portion that will begin belong to their shevet. In which case, it's perfectly possible that La'asi Lovo, they will be, in addition to all the other benefits of the holiness of owning in Yerushalayim, maybe they will be able to hold on to it afterwards as well. Furthermore, even if we say that everything is going to be split amongst everyone in the final analysis, but isn't that really what Yerushalayim is all about? Yerushalayim is all about Ki'ir Shechuba Lo Yachdav, that it brings us all together, that we are all unified in Yerushalayim, like the Maariv Tzvi writes, when they would go up to Yerushalayim during the Shalosh Regalim, so everybody would trust each other, everybody would be on the highest level of comportment in terms of their religious observance, so people who wouldn't eat in each other's homes the rest of the year, when it came to the Shalosh Regalim, when they would all be in Yerushalayim, everybody would trust each other's kashrus because they would be on the highest possible standards. So that's really what we want to encourage. We want to encourage, maybe that's also one of the ideas and motifs of Yerushalayim Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, is because of this very idea that Yerushalayim is Ki'ir Shechuba Lo Yachdav, that it's supposed to be a city which is not particularized. It's a city in which we all are able to grow in our spirituality together and we're all united, so that's why it makes sense not to isolate Yerushalayim in favor of one particular shevet. And in the Suchus, that we're giving the shiur about Yerushalayim and we're being Doresh Yerushalayim and we are striving to be in Yerushalayim and to take advantage of the holiness of Yerushalayim, we should all be zoche to the bracha that we pray for every single day, three times a day in our Shemona Esrei, v'sishka m'socha kasher dibarzu b'nei osa b'karav b'yamenu b'nyan olam amen ken yiratzo.
Unclean hands. Unclean.